Hey, this is Jeff Floyd, pastor of C3 Church Bathurst, and this is our podcast. Thank you for joining us today. C3 Bathurst brings life to people by helping them to be revived, restored, and released through getting to know Jesus and his people. We hope that this message will bring you life today.
Good morning, everyone. Big welcome from all the Lloyds here. Isolating, it's just one of those things. Missing being in church with you, but so glad that we can still bring the message and still talk about Jesus together. So enough of that. Let's get stuck into this. Just going to pray. Jesus, thank you. Thank you that no matter the circumstances, we can always open your Bible. We can pray together. And we can just learn more about you and know more about you. Just pray your blessing over the message today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we've been uncovering God's magnificent design. And today we're just discovering our magnificent identity. Yes, a magnificent identity. You know, I thought this was going to be straightforward when I delved into this, but I was definitely wrong. We live in a world where identity has become so confused and the question is loaded, but it's something we actually long to know. Often we see on government forms, you know, it's asking us, what's our nationality? What's our ethnicity? Our gender, our employment? There's all different things that we're asked about, even on food packaging. It attempts to define us in some way. Are you vegetarian or vegan? You know, they're all things that are setting down an identity of a person. Wherever we turn, we seem to be challenged even, is who do you identify as? So what is identity? What is it? If we're needing to identify ourselves as something, what is our identity? It's actually a really hard word to define. Even in dictionaries, they seem to find it a bit obscure. And, you know, I came across a paper even that was dedicated to discussing how difficult it is to define identity, the word. Who knew that something that we use so often and try to understand ourselves and use it to understand others, who knew that it could be so elusive? The best definition I could come up with was along these lines, that your identity is who you are. It's how I define who I am. And the identity of a person or a place is the characteristics that they have that distinguish them from others. So we often puzzle through, you know, where do I come from? What is my heritage? What are my defining characteristics? All those sorts of questions. And even, you know, I often read articles when I'm reading the paper on a Saturday or something. There's articles about people who are trying to discover their background. They might have been misplaced or, you know, come from a different heritage nation, and so they're trying to uncover what that all is. We even have programs that ask that question, who do you think you are? Or, you know, and that dig into people's past. And at some time we probably all wanted to look up some kind of ancestry website just because we're curious at what has come before us. The good news is we can know where we come from and we can know what our heritage is, no matter who we are, no matter how hidden it might seem, no matter how it might have been covered up or covered over, we can actually know where we come from and what our heritage is. And it's wrapped up in this really amazing book, the Bible. It doesn't give us specific DNA questions, but it does give answers to those questions. It gives answers to those questions. Where did I come from? Who am I supposed to be like? And what difference does it make? We find that the answers in this book, they're not limited to our race, they're not limited to our religion or our gender or what we eat. The answers are so much bigger, and they give us freedom. They give us freedom to live out our magnificent identity. So I found three things to answer those three questions. So let's go. Number one, you are created by God. Simply that. Where do I come from? I come from God. You come from God. Paul in the Bible simply says in Ephesians, we are God's workmanship. That's the word for a poem. And Psalm 139 actually writes this poem so beautifully. Let me read it to you. It says, O Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You go before me and follow me. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion. As I was woven together in the dark of the womb, you saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out. Before a single day had passed, how precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, you are still with me. What a beautiful poem that is. What a beautiful poem that is, just describing where we come from. That we come from God. That is God who has created us and formed us and knit us together. Like, they're words of craftsmanship, of care, of creativity. And he speaks them over us, about us. They're the words. That's who we are. We are so intricately designed and created. We are planned. We're desired. Every detail is seen to. We are no accident. And that's the best part about it. We come from God, and he doesn't make accidents. This is amazing. This is I actually think this is my favorite passage in the Bible. It speaks so closely to me. When I read that, it stirs something in me. It stirs in me a connection with a God who loves me, a God who wanted me, a God who desired me to be here on this earth. And when I read that passage that talks about God's thoughts about me, that they're numerous, that thoughts from God are precious and loving, that completely astounds me. You know, I had a personal experience of God communicating a thought about me to me one day. You know, when I was pregnant, way back 21 odd years ago, the first time I got pregnant, I developed a skin condition that made a mess of my face. It was called rosacea, and it made a mess of my face and a complete mess of my self-esteem. And I didn't think that I was a vain person, but I discovered I was. And it really, really caused me to struggle. I still actually find it really hard to look at color photos of myself at that time, a time when I'm so excited, yet there's a pain attached to that. And after about 3 years of struggling with this situation and this condition, using three different ways in the one day, God spoke to me. He used his Bible, he used a person, and he spoke to me directly into my spirit. And he said to me, he said, you are beautiful. And I certainly wasn't. You know, I did not look beautiful. But that moment of God communicating his thoughts about me transformed me. He didn't heal me, and now I'm just better at hiding it, and makeup's fantastic. But what God did was transform my understanding of who I was in Him and to Him, that in Him I was beautiful. It didn't matter anything else. And that has stuck with me, that personal experience of God speaking His thoughts to me. You know, when we know that we come from God and He intentionally and wonderfully formed us, we begin to understand just a small bit of our magnificent identity. The second thing that I want you to understand today is that you were created to display the characteristics of God. So who am I supposed to be like? I'm actually supposed to be like God. How cool is that? Listen what it says in Genesis chapter 1. This is a bit that Jeff didn't read out last week. Verse 26, then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. So God created human beings in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. Then in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, it says, Then the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground. He breathed the breath of life into the man's nostrils, and he and the man became a living person. That is who we are to be like. We are to be like God. We are made in His image to carry His characteristics. Together, God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, together, they made us to be like them. We were patterned after them. Our God-given DNA is the same as His. It's love, it's creativity, it's generosity, it's faithfulness, it's kindness. There's so many more. They're all strewn throughout the Bible. And, you know, you think about those characteristics that you know of God, the ones that you've experienced and felt, and the ones that you've seen or read about in the Bible. They're the same characteristics that we were created to have, that God formed when He created humans, that we were designed to carry in our being as well. And I'm talking about every single person. It's not just the nice people on the earth that God designed to have these characteristics. It's every single person. Now, of course, next week we're going to be exploring the problem of evil and how this has affected God's magnificent design. And we will see how the image of God on earth, that's us humans, it's been attacked, and an attempt has been made to destroy the works of the Creator and to destroy the image on earth of who He is. So that today, so many people don't actually bear that image, that we don't see it in so many people, and that's what we see in destructive things around our world. But that doesn't change the truth. Just because we don't see it, just because the reality seems differently, the truth is that our magnificent identity was designed to display the characteristics of God. That's what He intended, that He would make us like Him, like God, like Jesus, like the Holy Spirit. Together, we were patterned after them. So number three question, what difference should it make? If that is what we are to carry, if that is our magnificent DNA, what difference should it make? Well, the difference is that the world would see and know God. That when we know and live out our magnificent identity, that the world would see and know God. So when we choose to follow Jesus, we're born again. Jesus talks about this to a man called Nicodemus in John 3. Nicodemus is trying to unpack this thing about how to get to heaven. And Jesus says that he needs to be born again. You see, the first time that we're born is a human birth. And our identity carries the mess that we've, as humans, have made of that image. And that's what our identity carries. But when we are born again, that is when the Holy Spirit comes in us, we are born of the Spirit, we then now carry our magnificent identity as God intended it to be, as God intended our heart to be like His. And we know this because this is the prayer that Jesus has for us in John 17. He prays in verse 21. He says, I pray that they will be one, just as you and I are one, just as you are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us so that the whole world will believe that you sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me, so they may be one as we are one. I am in them and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love me, that you love them as much as you love me. That's the prayer that Jesus has for us. He longs for our identity to be completely wrapped up with Him, with God, and with the Holy Spirit. Jesus knows that when we're born again, that we are now invited into that space, into that the community of God and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And when we live out of that space, the world will know and understand God's love. How amazing is that? That when we live out our magnificent identity, the world will see God. Colossians 3 says it doesn't matter who we've been identified with in the past, but now in this new life, in verse 11, it doesn't matter if you are Jew or a Gentile, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave, free. We can add in, it doesn't matter if we're Australian, English, you know, whatever we might have identified in the past as, Christ is all that matters and He lives in all of us. Jesus in us will make a difference to our world. Living out our magnificent identity and who he created you will help the world. Like, isn't that amazing that now we can help the world by living out our magnificent identity? We can help the world to believe in Jesus. That's what he prayed in that prayer in John 17. He says that they may believe in us, that they may be in us so that the world will believe you sent me. By living out our magnificent identity, the world can believe that God sent Jesus to save it. The world will know that he was sent by God, and the world will understand that God loves them. That's what it is. That's the difference it makes when we live out our magnificent identity. So it's time. It's time to discover that what our magnificent identity is. It's time to put aside all those other thoughts and ideas about, you know, am I this? Am I that? Where do I belong? Where do I fit in? Where we fit in is in God. We really, it's time now to uncover how God created us to be, who God created you to be. In Phil Pringle's book, Born Identity, he writes this. He writes, the smoke of religion over the centuries has deeply blurred, darkened, and discolored the view people have of the Father in heaven. They've come to imagine him as dark, subdued, muted, and somber, just like his representations. That'll be us. Yet when a restorer comes, the colours of God are radically altered. We see God as he is and therefore also see ourselves as we are meant to. And after we join with Christ, after we're born again, he begins the restoration. What is the model to guide us to what we are ultimately going to look like? Jesus. He is the restoration template. He is our restoration complete. If you've been born again already, how's the restoration going? That's what's happening. You know, our magnificent identity has been destroyed. But when we're born again, we start the restoration process. We start to uncover what's going on. What has God created in there? What is under our skin? What's under our personality that God has put there that is his characteristics and his personality that is to come out in us? How's your restoration going? Are you uncovering and displaying the image of God? Are you doing that? But, you know, maybe you're still a little unsure as to what your identity is. Maybe you have big questions and you don't quite know what it means. I just really encourage you to start looking at it from the perspective of God, of what his word says. You know, what he really intended for us was for our image and our identity to be found in him. He really intended for us to be completely caught up in Jesus and connected with him. So much so that nothing else matters. And that happens when we're born again. When we're born again by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, we come into that community, which is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We become a part of that community. And bit by bit, our identity starts to be uncovered and wrapped up in him. And we get born again when we tell Jesus that we believe him and that we want to follow him. We simply talk to him and we ask him. And so this morning, you know, as we ponder over those different things, who am I and what am I supposed to be like and what difference is it supposed to make? I really encourage you just to think about where you are with that, to think about your magnificent identity, whether you've started to uncover that and discover that, whether you have been born again and bit by bit that's being revealed and bit by bit you're starting to show the world that God sent Jesus and that he loves them. But if these questions, you know, keep turning over, I really encourage you to pick up that Bible and to start discovering the Jesus who you were designed to be like and to ask him to be born again, to say to him, I'm sorry for what I've done. I'm sorry for messing up the image that you created. Please forgive me and help me to follow you. I'm just going to pray that right now. And after this service concludes, if that is something that you want to happen, if you want God's Holy Spirit to come into you, I really encourage you to touch base with the service leader or one of the service crew or someone in church that you know and to talk to them about getting on this journey and starting to uncover your magnificent identity. Let's pray. Jesus, I just thank you this morning that we can discover that our magnificent identity is caught up in you, that your intention was always that we would be like you, that we would have your characteristics and that we would show the world who you are. And Jesus, this morning as people just discover their identity and as people just desire, oh God, to be born again and to refresh that and to start to restore the identity that you have intended for them. And just pray this prayer with them. Dear God, I want to follow Jesus. I ask you to come and show me how to do life. I'm sorry I've been doing life on my own. Make me your child. Help me to follow you. Uncover my magnificent identity. Thank you, God, for loving me. Amen. Well, I'll hand back over now to the rest of church and have a great morning. Thanks.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. We'd love to get to know you better. Come and visit us at one of our Sunday services in Bathurst, rear of 217 Howard Street. Have a week filled with life.